Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Creation Animal Care. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, and we're on location back in China. We're in China, Michigan. That's over towards Port Huron. And we have our vet. Our listeners are getting to know you, Dr. Edie Hanna.
Well, that's fantastic. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I want more listeners just for the sake of what we do in this world for animals.
So. Absolutely. And Dr. Edie, we've got your fan mail is starting to come in.
Yes, one whole letter, and it was awesome. It was so sweet. So.
Well, I just think those are representative, and there's going to be more coming along. Our staff, when they've heard the program, just the next morning after it was aired, they said, "Oh, that is such a good program."
Oh, praise God!
And I just amazed. The common sense advice, perspective of caring and matching up a pet with the owner, which is best for both of them. What amazed me, just knocked me over, is saying don't give a pet as a gift unless you include the person who's going to get it.
Yep, absolutely.
That was true. And listeners, if you missed that particular program, go on our archives and listen to all the previous three programs. This happens to be our fourth one. And Dr. Edie, before we start, there's one text in Proverbs 12:10, that is kind of your guiding light is when you're doing animal care. And listeners, I need to share, we're at the Humane Society of
St. Clair County. Yes.
And
Snap.
And what your work here, your workers, it's just amazing. But give us that text.
Yeah, Proverbs 12:10. It says that a righteous man regards the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel.
And with that, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Yes. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to bring a different perspective in creation to your people. I ask, Lord, that you continue to bless this program, that you bless Tom and myself as we proceed with more episodes in the future, that you open the doors where they need to be opened, and that you guide us into your word so that we all give glory to you in the end. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And to give our listeners a perspective, in our very first episode, we talked with one of the founders of this clinic and described the situation, what it was with animals and their need for care and such. And we're right here in the clinic right now. We're in the cat room. It's like a 6x6 or 8x8 room, and you have these towers of these platforms, and looks like this is where cats sit.
That is true. Right now, we do have cats that could utilize this room, but because it's kitten season, we're kind of waiting for some kittens to arrive so that we can utilize the room a little bit better. We do have other areas where the adult cats can kind of hang out, but we're trying to hold off on this room until we get a few more kittens that can go together so that we can get them into our program and adopted out.
And there are platforms, you know, like you have bookshelves. They have little shelves all over this wall, all the way up to 7 feet.
So they can climb. They can climb. Sometimes these adult cats that we get in, they get scared and they go high.
Oh,
and
really?
We have to get chairs to go get them down.
And then the intermediate steps or layers, they look like PVC platforms that are about a foot wide, 14 inches wide, and about 18 inches long. I assume the cats can sit on these different platforms and also climb up them.
Yes, they do. And the nice part about these, so these are made with the PVC pipes. They are connected together in some sort of tower. And they have shelves that are made of vinyl that are included in those. And sometimes in some facilities, especially animal controls, they will get Boy Scouts to actually put these together.
Okay.
And I think that's a huge, huge blessing for Boy Scouts to get involved in that. I encourage those who are in Pathfinders,
yes,
or even adventurers, yes, that would be a great thing for them to do, is to see how these are put together so they can actually construct them for any local shelters or rescues or even cat cafes.
Okay. So now tell me, are these commercial products, these different shelves, or are they made... do you need to get the parts and build them from your local hardware store?
You can order these online. They do not come put together. You have to assemble them yourself. But looking at them doesn't look very hard. I think I could even do it.
All right. You could do surgery, but the assembling a shelf. But anyway, before we go, we have a reoccurring guest that you're holding right now. Describe the small, is it still a puppy or is this a miniature?
No, he's still a puppy. And this is Link. This is my coworker Teresa's dog, her youngest dog, Link, who is the Chihuahua. And he is growing. He is 5 pounds now. So if in one of the earlier episodes, I think he was only like 3 pounds.
Oh my. So you're watching him grow, and you gave the weight. What is his overall length and height?
So he's about just under a foot long in length, and he is probably about 8 inches tall.
About 8 inches, looks about right.
Yeah.
He has about a half inch fur, and he's kind of variegated with white and gray and black.
Yeah, so this coloring actually has a name. It's called merle.
Merle, okay.
Yep, so yeah. It's a merle coloring. And as you can see, he's adorable. This coloring is not very normal in these dogs, but this happens to be a mutation. Okay. So, but you see these colors, this merle color, in Australian Shepherds. So it's very cool.
It is.
It's very distinct.
It's spots. And yes. Not quite leopard, but organized to be a leopard. But hey, what we're here is for the vet visit, your very first. And I just love the topics you had. You started off, you need to look for a vet. You do research on this, it appears you're suggesting.
Yes, you should definitely do your research.
Why? One is another, whatever. You've seen them all.
Well, not in this case.
Okay.
We are not all the same. So there are emergency veterinarians, which are sometimes open 24 hours, which are for urgent and emergencies.
Do they cost a little bit more?
A lot more. And so you don't want to do those, but you always want to have their numbers on hand in case you do have an emergency. There are full service veterinarians, which means that they have a lot of the equipment that can diagnose particular problems.
So x-rays and other things.
They may have x-rays. They may have blood work, lab work machines. They may have ultrasound. They may have the equipment to look at eyes, the equipment to look at ears. Okay. And then there are your low-cost spay-neuter clinics or wellness clinics. And with the low-cost wellness clinics, you can get low-cost vaccinations and low-cost spay-neuter. They may not have the equipment that other places have for diagnostics, because technically these low-cost wellness clinics and spay-neuter clinics, they're not there to diagnose illnesses. They are there for a particular purpose of just basic wellness and spay neuter. And they, meaning myself actually, because I work for those type of facilities, we expect the owner to build a relationship with a full service veterinarian so they can go there when they have other problems like major ear issues, major skin issues, any injuries like a hurt leg or anything like that. So it would be best to establish a relationship with a full service veterinarian, and then you can get your vaccinations through other resources like the low cost wellness clinics in the area.
And that goes for any vice, even for human treatments. Don't go to the emergency room if you just need a shot. You might be able to get it at the health department. And if you're on a limited budget and your finances are tight, rather than forego getting appropriate treatment, know your options and go to the right option.
Exactly. And that, I'm thinking of the Amen Wellness, the clinics.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes.
So when I think of those, I think of the ability to be able to go there and get some basic services, and then for other issues that may take a little bit more care, you establish a relationship with somebody who can help you out with that way.
Yeah, the Amen clinics are dental and some medical and some optical services, and others as they're available. They're put on by local Seventh-day Adventist churches, and they're the main financial sponsor, but a lot of community providers and people who care join in to provide a clinic maybe once in a city, once every couple of years as it's available. We had almost 10 of them last year, and we're looking at about another 6 this year, and there will be one in the Detroit area. There's going to be one up in Grayling. There's a number of places.
One at my church in Troy in August, yes.
And Brighton. By the time this program airs, probably Brighton will have already have happened.
So I think of those type of clinics as, you know, those who are in need of some basic eye exams and some basic dental care. And then I relate to what I do for just general wellness services, spay and neuter, because that is such in high demand, and not every veterinarian can honestly do what I do, and I'm very grateful for that.
You've been blessed and you've been trained.
Yeah. Yes, I can do anywhere between 20 to 50 plus a day, depending on my location, whereas a regular full-service veterinarian clinic, they only set aside maybe 4 surgery appointments a day.
Okay.
So where I can just focus on spay, neuter, hernia repairs, things like that, I can do a lot in a shorter period of time than what they can do. And I'm grateful for that. I'm very blessed, and I'm grateful for what they do, because they focus on the illnesses and other services, where I can just focus on spay, neuter and basic general overall care so that we can establish a healthy pet.
Right. Now, you mentioned about vaccines. Now, tell about, I teased with my, I said something kind of ridiculous. I said, all cats are alike, and she just howled because she's a cat lover. But I assume there's a difference between cats and dogs, and when it comes to vaccines and so on and so forth. Can you tell us about what are the important ones? What do you recommend?
Okay. So all dogs, all cats should get certain vaccinations. There are vaccines that are considered core vaccines versus non-core vaccines.
You mean like essential?
Yes.
These are musts.
Mm-hmm, and that's how we label them in the veterinary world, as core versus non-core.
Okay.
So regardless of whether it is a puppy, regardless of whether it is a full adult dog, and the same goes for kitten versus an adult cat, if they've never had a vaccine before, some of these vaccinations have to be boosted 3 to 4 weeks apart.
Okay.
Okay, so that way it builds their immune system. When you get a puppy, say, for example,
So as soon as you get a puppy or are gifted a puppy, the work has just begun.
It is. That's true. Yes. You really have to make sure that you maintain their health through the rest of their life. And things happen. You know, emergencies will happen. But start from the beginning of doing the basic general wellness care. And that is establishing a relationship with a veterinarian and getting them started on their vaccinations, which is usually between the ages of 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks.
Yes, okay. Both for puppies and for kittens. Okay. That is the start of getting them with their vaccines started. And then also deworming, okay? So parasite control, because the reason is because the puppies and the kittens, their antibodies are wearing out from
their mothers.
From mother. Mm-hmm. Okay. Usually weaning is around 5 to 6 weeks of age. So between 6 and 8 weeks, they don't have the mother's antibodies anymore. And you want to establish and reconnect those particular immunities that they can develop so that they don't get these diseases. So
I appreciate this. That's the reason why we have Creation Animal Care and Strong Tower Radio. Now, just before we go to the break, will you talk about these various things that you need to be treating for and what these vaccinations are? I see DHPP, and yes. That doesn't mean anything to me.
I know. You see my notes. So DHPP stands for, that's actually four different diseases that one vaccination can protect against.
Okay.
The D stands for distemper. The H stands for hepatitis. The one of the P's is parainfluenza, and the other P is one of the most deadliest diseases that a dog can get, and that's parvovirus. And so we want to protect your dog against all four of those, mainly distemper, but most importantly, parvovirus.
And so this is a core vaccine?
This is a core vaccine, yes.
Now, are all these that you have on this list here core vaccines that you've got listed for us that we'll discuss?
No, I have two non-core, and the two core vaccines for a dog are the DHPP and the rabies vaccination.
Now, I don't see the word rabies here.
Yes, because you see my notes. It's RV. RV stands for rabies vaccination.
Okay, there you
so
go.
I abbreviate a lot so that I can get through my records pretty quick.
So what's a lepto?
Yep. Lepto is the short version, but the longer version is called leptospirosis. Leptospirosis is a disease that is carried by wildlife. Okay. They carry it in their urine. Rats, mice, squirrel, possum, skunk, fox. Your dog can come along, drink the standing water, eat the blades of grass, and it can blow out the kidneys and the liver. And that disease, leptospirosis, is transmitted to humans.
Oh.
Okay. So that's why it is important for high risk areas where there's lots of rats, okay, inner cities, things like that, wildlife, to be able to protect your dog against that. That is super, super important. It is considered a non-core vaccine. It's based on risk, but actually it's starting to become a little bit more important in many areas. So.
Well, Dr. Hannah, we've just begun to touch this particular list, and I have a greater appreciation. It's just so good to know the importance or the seriousness that you want to do these particular things. So let's take a break right now, and we'll continue with the rest of the vaccines and treatments that we want to have for puppies, and then we'll continue to cats. Well, listeners, you're listening to Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna here at the St. Clair Humane Society in China, Michigan. We'll be right back after this break.
Hi, folks. Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2087, and ask for The Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for The Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087. On Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
You're listening to Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna. We're at the Humane Society of St. Clair and
County,
and we're in China, Michigan. That's the SNAP Clinic. Spray, neuter.
Spay, neuter, adopt, protect.
Protect. I'll get that by the end of the program. Well, we were talking about the importance of that first visit in the 6 to 8 weeks to one of your providers. We talked about there are different levels of providers, a clinic like yours, a low-cost vaccine clinic, maybe an option that you, if you're tight on budget and you want to take care of your care, your pet as best as you can. So what's some of the other ones? I see Lyme, I see influenza, I see another one, B-O-R-D.
Yes, that's short for Bordetella.
Okay.
So,
Which one do you want to approach first?
I'll do the Bordetella.
Okay.
That is, so here at the SNAP clinic, we offer four of the vaccines. We offer the distemper, the lepto, the rabies, and the Bordetella, because those really are your most important for just general overall wellness vaccinations. They're the typical ones. And yes, two of them technically are based on risk, which is your leptospirosis and your Bordetella. Bordetella is important, especially for dogs who are going to be around other dogs, whether they are going to dog parks, whether they are going for walks in their neighborhood where there's fenced in dogs, whether they are going to a groomer, okay, or doggy daycare.
So this is this, you can't hardly avoid this.
No, you shouldn't. You really shouldn't. They should have this vaccination when they are going to be around other dogs.
Now, if you have more than one dog in your house, do they still need this?
You should, because if you are introducing any new dogs into your home, they can, say your present dogs in your home are vaccinated against Bordetella, as an example. If you bring in a new dog into that environment, that it this is a disease that's involves the respiratory, so it's airborne.
Okay.
Okay. So if that dog that's already in the house sneezes and the new dog is not protected, regardless if the old dog is protected, the new dog is not, which means it can have the potential risk of getting that infection.
Wow.
So
let's talk about Lyme. Is this like Lyme disease?
It is.
Okay.
Yep.
Just
so,
like human?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Lyme disease, as many are aware, is transmitted by ticks. So there are plenty of hunting dogs in this area for sure. Any areas that are high in tick numbers, deer count, things like that, it would be best to have your dog protected with the Lyme vaccination. And again, that is a series of two, similar to the distemper, parvo, the lepto. So that is important. It is considered a non-core. So again, it is based on risk.
But highly recommended.
It is recommended in areas, especially the country, where there's deer population.
Or if the dog, the animal's going to be outdoors and so on and so forth. What about influenza? It's just a cold.
Yeah, it's just a cold. You know, that influenza vaccination is not, has not been around for very long.
How long is long?
It's been around maybe a couple of years.
Really?
Yeah. There was some highly contagious diseases in the past couple of years in regards to dogs. And so there was the influenza that was the basic cause of it. It is not your typical flu, because remember, I don't know if any listeners remember when I mentioned the DHPP, there's a para-influenza. It is different from the influenza. Okay. So, but it is not the flu like we think humans. It is just another, it's another respiratory, another type of bronchial system type disease that is good to protect, especially in a crowded area where there's other dogs.
Okay, another one of those
yes.
congregate. Well, you've got HW test and HW preve.
Yes. Those items are stand for heartworm test.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yes. And heartworm preventative.
Okay.
Okay. Heartworm is a disease that is transmitted by mosquitoes. Okay. So they carry these baby heartworms, what we call microfilaria, into the bloodstream. If they inject those baby heartworms or microfilaria into the bloodstream of a dog, babies swim into the bloodstream, and then they settle in the heart, where they become juveniles and adults, and it can kill your dog. So the goal is to test them around 7 months of age. Some vets choose a year, as long as your dog is on preventative for the first several months of its life. But if your dog is tested and it tests negative, fantastic. What we want to keep that as negative is by giving the heartworm preventative every single month. Okay.
How do you apply that? Is that a oral that the owner can administer?
That is a chewable. So it's actually a treat of some sort that they give once a month, and it lasts typically for 30 days. And it works retroactive, so it, meaning that if your dog was infected 30 days prior to you giving the treat or the chewable, then it will actually kill the ones that are already in the system. People need to keep in mind that the heartworm preventative never kills the juveniles of the parasite, okay? Mm-hmm. And if it's only for the baby heartworms, that's all it kills. When you have a dog that has tested positive for a heartworm, it is a bit more extensive of treatment. It can actually be very serious, and it can cause even death for treatment. That's why it is so important just to put your dog on the heartworm preventative, get them heartworm tested yearly, so that you can avoid a positive heartworm dog in the future and risk them dying even from treatment. Because if they're not going to die from the treatment and you don't treat them at all, they're going to die from the heartworm.
Wow. So what is the frequency of this heartworm condition?
It is increasing in many states. In Michigan, is still a high number for heartworm positives. And it's frustrating because, you know, not all veterinarians are on the same page with how often to keep them on the preventative. There are still veterinarians that will say, just do it during the spring and summer months. Don't worry about fall and winter. That is so not true. And let me tell you why. It is because when spring rolls around and we are promoting heartworm testing in the spring, because that's when the mosquitoes are starting to come out, we see more positives in the spring because they were not on preventative during the fall and winter months.
Oh, okay.
So when the mosquitoes are still out there swarming, because you know our weather in Michigan is so variable. Mm-hmm. We will get 80 degree weather in November. Okay, so therefore the mosquitoes are out. Anyway, if they are carrying this disease, your dog in just less than 6 months can become heartworm positive.
6 months. I was just going to ask the time frame there.
Yep.
What about flea and tick prevention?
Very important to protect your dogs and cats against fleas and ticks. So most of the flea control and the tick control for dogs is either topical, meaning going on the skin, or oral, meaning you can give them a chewable or a treat that they can take once a month to protect them from fleas and ticks. The only issue I have, I'm a promoter of the topical. So I like Seresto. I like Advantix topical. And the reason is because the flea and tick don't have to bite in order to die with those topicals.
Okay.
If you give a treat once a month to your dog that is a flea and tick preventative, the problem is that the flea and tick do have to bite in order to die. But if that means that you're still increasing the risk of getting the dog getting Lyme disease. And you're also increasing the risk that if your dog has a flea allergy, one bite can still wear them out.
Wow.
So that's why I do like the topicals. I'll be honest though, what is the best product? It is literally the best product is one that the owner gives regularly.
Okay.
So occasionally you may have to switch products due to product resistance. That does happen. But whatever you are going to use that's going to make you stay consistent, please use it and make sure it is working properly. And sometimes you do have to check. And that's why an annual veterinary visit is going to be very important, because we check those things. So,
well, we got to give equal time to the cats.
Yes, we do. Those cats are getting more and more special by the day.
All right. So they have another vocabulary here. So
we do.
RV, understand that. What else do we have? Rabies vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Tom. Are listening.
I'm listening.
I hope the listeners are also listening. All right. So for cats, not too many selections. We have a few. Nothing compared to what dogs have to deal with. But the FVRCP, we call that the feline distemper.
Mm-hmm.
It literally has nothing to do with distemper like it has to do with dogs, but that's just the equivalent of what the terminology is. It is different in what it protects. Feline, viral, rhinotracheitis, Khaleesi virus, and panleukopenia.
I got something about the throat, but other than the rest, I didn't
right.
catch.
Right. So those are viral diseases that are very important to protect for your cats, because they can get those in the environment. If you, and you know what I hear a lot? Oh, my cat's an indoor cat. I don't need to have it vaccinated. Well, guess what? If your cat is indoors and there are stray cats outside and you have a window open and these stray cats are going past your window and sneeze or something, all that airborne particles go right into your window, into the cat's nostrils.
And I've seen cats hiss and growl and
yes.
all that. So I'm sure that
expels some respiratory droplets for sure. So therefore it is contagious. There are contagions that will develop in the air. Windows are open. Cats will get sick because we know how cats like to hang out at windows, right?
Yes, so, absolutely.
Yeah. So it is still very important, even indoor pets, to keep your animals vaccinated properly. And I am not an over vaccinator. I do truly believe that the first couple years of the dog or cat's life should be properly vaccinated on a regular basis. And then some of these vaccines can last a bit longer than a year. Not all of them. Many of them are manufactured only for literally a year. So you got to do the best. But your DHPP for dogs and your FVRCP for cats, those can be done. If you're really consistent for the first couple of years, then they can last longer, like 3 years or so.
Uh-huh.
So that's why it's still important. But I'm not an over-vaccinator, but I want our pets protected.
Absolutely. You've got treatments here. I'm not even going to try to say them.
That's okay. So the other vaccine that the cats are offered is what we call the feline leukemia vaccine.
Okay, got it.
And that is... one that
blood disease.
It is a blood disease, and one that can be very deadly. Highly recommended for cats that are at risk, and when they are at risk, that means that they are around outdoor cats a lot, or you bring in a cat that already is infected with feline leukemia. You want your already established cats to not get that disease. And you want to bring in a positive feline leukemia cat, which may not always be the best idea, but you want to protect the existing cats by offering them the feline leukemia vaccine. So not that's considered a non-core vaccination, but your FVRCP and your rabies vaccine are considered core ones for cats.
Well, you don't have any cat parks, so the chance of transmission might be lower.
I'm sorry, Tom, but have you never seen a cat being walked down your street? Probably not you, because you live in the country.
It's a minority.
Okay, well, I have, and I tell you what, they're still at risk for airborne stuff. So highly recommend it. And your feline leukemia, We're going to talk about the combo testing for that. So a combo test is when you first get a cat, and usually it's best around maybe 3 months of age to test them with their blood, what we call the combo test. And that tests for feline leukemia or feline immunodeficiency virus. Those are two diseases that cats can get through direct contact, through fighting, through saliva, depending on the disease, that can eventually cause cancer and can kill them. So you really want to know your cat's status so that you can properly protect them in the future. But those are diseases that it would be best to know if they have it so you can plan accordingly.
So let's talk about the examination. What about observant? First, observe.
Okay. So, you know how 1 Samuel 16:7 basically says that do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature because the Lord has rejected him. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So
Samuel.
We know that's good for humans, right?
Right.
But honestly, the first thing I look at any pet is their appearance.
Okay.
Okay. So that is the first thing I observe when I see an animal that comes in for me.
What are you looking for?
I am watching them from a distance. I look at their walk. I look at their behavior. I look at their presentation. I look at their fur. I just literally observe anything I possibly can just from a distance, okay? So I can get an idea of how that animal is going to interact with me. If I can see that it's already too timid, I'm going to be a little bit more cautious, okay? If I see it's a, you know, very happy-go-lucky, I know I can be a little bit more relaxed, okay? But I also look at just, again, I can see from a distance whether they're being taken care of. I can see if their nails are overgrown. I can see if they have eye drainage. I can see sometimes even from a distance if they have erect ears. I can see if they automatically have an ear infection. I can see if they're matted and poorly groomed. So I'm looking, and I can also see the most important thing is, and everybody jokes because my biggest pet peeve is overweight pets. Okay. I can't stand it. So that is also something I can gear from just basic appearance, is whether or not your pet is overweight.
So you've just looked at this pet. You haven't even touched
them. I have not. Nope. I can gather so much information just from appearance.
Well, very good. Well, we will come back in our third segment to talk about the remainder of the first vet's visit. You're listening to Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna at the SNAP Clinic. It's the Humane Society of St. Clair County, and we'll be right back after this break.
This is Ruthie Calkins from Tustin. The Bible tells us that heaven will be the dwelling place of God's friends. That's why I'm so excited about supporting Strong Tower Radio. Their unique blend of thought-provoking speakers, stirring inspirational messages, and heartwarming music reaches into the lives and hearts of each listener, helping them to develop and cherish a friendship with God. If this radio station has been a blessing to you and your family, why not join me and hundreds of others in supporting Strong Tower Radio with a financial gift? They're 100% listener supported and could really use your help right now. You can send your check to Strong Tower Radio, Post Office Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan 49601. Or you can visit their secure website to use your credit card at strongtowerradio.org. Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Creation Animal Care. Dr. Edie, why do we call it creation?
Because God created these animals just as particular as he created human beings.
And we have the word care, that we as humans, God made us to be stewards over these animals, but that has a responsibility, and the word care It means that you have a responsibility and maybe even a little bit of love.
Just a little. No, you should have a lot of love, honestly. So you should have not just love for your fellow human beings, but you should have love for God's other creation, which is nature, which can cover animals, it can cover trees, it can cover the waters, you know. So I am very blessed in what I do because I actually have all three aspects of stewardship. I have, you know, being a human being myself and having to relate to humans, and I have to take care of the animals, and while doing that, I'm also taking care of the environment.
Wonderful. Well, we're talking about the first vet visit, and we went into great depth about how do you choose a veterinary. It's very important. You encourage our listeners to call five different vets to find out what their range of services are and what their cost structure is, and if cost is an important thing to you, you want to do that, and that there's different level triage, if you wish. Mm-hmm. If you use a human medical, that you may go to your local doctor for everyday physicals, colds, and whatever. If it's on the weekend or if it's emergent, you may go to an urgent care center. Mm-hmm. If you have something very serious, they're going to refer you to an emergency or to a trauma center.
Right.
And so you need to know the appropriate level of care for that. And you also talked about the fact that you should establish this relationship ahead of time, not when you're an emergency after. I mean, emergencies happen.
Yes, they do.
If you're out of town or whatever. But if you can already know who to go to and when, and also have records, you've had your vaccination and a variety of other things. We talked about the exam. We talked about the vaccinations and different treatments. Now we're finally to the visit. We've done all this. We've waited so long for the visit. What are we going to do?
Well, you're going to listen to the vet.
Okay. Going to pay attention. Follow directions.
Right. Well, one of the things that we hope people can understand is that bring in any history that you have on the pet that you acquired.
Just like humans.
Yeah, but you'd be amazed at how people don't know that aspect of it. Bring in any records whatsoever. Know what you're feeding your pet. Know what kind of medications your pets are on.
You're going to be asked.
Yes, you are going to be asked. And please make sure you have the proper leash for your dog, okay?
All leeches are the same.
No, they are not, Tom. Don't.
Poking the vet?
A little bit. Can you see the steam coming out of my ears? But listen, so seriously, make sure your pet is on the proper restraint. I can tell you one thing that pretty much all vets hate, and I'm confident in this. We hate the retractable leashes.
Okay. That's what you'd use to take your dog for a walk.
Oh, those are so dangerous, and they're so not well equipped for an environment where you're bringing into other dogs. Okay, so retractables probably should have been the last invention ever, if not invented at all. I know it's beneficial for some, but honestly, they are dangerous, and I do not recommend retractables for any public spaces. Okay, so
you don't have your animal under full control.
Not at all. And again, those retractables are very dangerous. If you look it up, you can see many, many bad injuries that have resulted from them. Elena, actually, who you'll meet shortly in another program, is her aunt got injured, her eye, just from a retractable. Wow. So people's fingers can be amputated. I mean, I'm serious. They're very dangerous. So anyway, bring your dog in a proper leash. I recommend a 6-foot leash and a proper neck collar that is nice and secure. Too many people are leaving their neck collars too loose. They go to tug their dog. If their dog gets scared, it backs out, literally backs out of the collar. So please keep your collar nice and snug. Harnesses, I don't recommend harnesses until they are fully trained properly on a regular leash and collar. Those are my things for dogs when you're bringing in your first visit. And for cats, please keep your cats in a carrier, okay? Keep your carrier out as part of the furniture for the rest of its life. Don't just have the carrier for going to the vet. Take your cat to a friend's house. Take your cat for a ride. You can take your cat to the pet store. Make that a good experience for them. But please don't ever take your cat in anything other than a carrier when you're entering a veterinary facility. You have no idea as soon as you walk in the door, if a dog got loose in the facility, goes to jump at you, your cat comes flying out of your hands, scrapes your face. I mean, those are incidents that have happened. They have happened, Tom. I've seen it. I've heard of it. So we want to really avoid so many things. Again, I could go on so much more about these incidents, but is your first visit at the veterinary clinic, and you will present yourself to the receptionist and we check you in. And then now you come to see me and I will give you, I'm very informative usually at their first veterinary visit.
We already know that.
Yeah. So I will talk about so many things at your first visit. If you have a puppy, if you have a dog, if you have no experience whatsoever, it does take longer, but it's okay because that's what I'm here for. And I really, really want people to take full control of their animal's life and their veterinary care. So I will discuss socialization of your animal. I will discuss how you should touch the ears a lot. You should take them to...
talking about cats and dogs.
But yes, so it's pretty much the same. I will talk about, if I'm talking about direct socialization with your pet, touch the ears a lot, touch the feet a lot, because you want to get them comfortable with touching their feet when you go to do nail trims. You want to touch their mouth so that you can learn to brush their teeth. We'll talk about that in a second. Okay. Yes, you should be brushing your animal's teeth.
I have enough trouble with my kids.
You should touch their body. You should touch their tail. Okay. Touch their ears, touch everything, everything about your pet. You should be touching on a regular basis, getting them used to being touched. That's socialization. Also too, taking them places, taking them, there's many stores that will allow pets, Home Depot, Lowe's, I think Joann Fabrics, unfortunately that's closing, but there are so many places that you can actually take your pet just to get them out and socialized. So bring them to other people so that they, you know, are good with the public. I talk about behavior training, what commands are best, obedience training. I talk about general care, another pet peeve of mine, I talked about being overweight, is nail trims. I talk about how to give your pet a nail trim. Cats are so important because we want to avoid declawing as much as, well, at all costs, okay? Because honestly, it is the worst thing you could do for your cat is to declaw them. But we talk about nail trims. We show them. We show owners how to do nail trims. We talk about ears. Ears can have parasites, okay? Ear mites. It's very rare for dogs to get ear mites, although they can, especially if you have a cat in the household that's infected. But cats usually are the ones with the ear mites. So we talk about those. We talk about cleaning. We talk about teeth, okay? So teeth are so important. These little dogs, like I'm holding Link right here, he is more apt to get dental disease early on in life than his older counterparts. Mm. And that is just because that's the nature of the beast of breeding over and over again, these little dogs, okay? Because their mouths aren't aligned properly sometimes. Their teeth don't align, so therefore they get more issues. But you want to learn to brush your animal's teeth, both cats and dogs, so that they can avoid dental issues in the future.
What is the frequency of brushing?
You should brush several times a week. Okay. If not daily, several times a week. And all we ask is that you do not use human toothpaste, okay? You use a baby toothbrush. You can use a little washcloth. You dip it in a little tuna juice or a little chicken broth, and you learn to just massage the gums and rub the teeth, okay? So sometimes that can be an enjoyable experience for your pet, all right? We talk about, you know, food. The best food options, it's going to be a range because Unfortunately, some people have many, many animals in their house, so it's kind of difficult. But I really would encourage people to please be very diligent and very proactive on what type of foods that they are going to feed their pet, whether cat or dog.
Okay, let's talk, and we might have talked this in an earlier program. You have age-appropriate, health-dictated foods, but you also have dry foods, you have wet foods, and you have human foods.
Yeah, fruits and vegetables are great for your dog and your cat. There are lists that are online that you can find that will give you the best options, because you know what? There are some fruits and vegetables that animals should not have because they can be toxic, deadly. They can also be a hazard, like choking. Okay, so there are fruits and vegetables, but yes, look into that, because those are really the best treats that you could possibly give for your dog, especially. Really, avoid all of this junk at the store. Avoid the milk bones. Avoid the pepperonis. Avoid the bacon strips. Okay, there's nothing but fake fillers, artificial colorings and flavors. And one milk bone is actually us having a candy bar a day.
Mm.
So I don't know about you, Tom. We're supposed to avoid that. I think we're supposed to take care of our pets a little bit too. So.
And you also talked in the previous program about all pet foods are not created equal.
Nope, they are not. I'll be honest. It's just convenient. Dry foods are just convenient, but really they are not the best. If you could possibly ever make your own pet food, that would be ideal, but you really have to have the right nutritional supplements, the concentrations of things, the right degrees of proteins and fats and in carbs, all that stuff. But it is convenient to have the dry food, but just pick an excellent quality dry food.
What determines excellent? Is it
the ingredients? And okay. Yeah. So the ingredients, and then of course, when you have better ingredients, your prices are going to be more extensive. So, but here's the thing: people are like, "Oh my goodness, I go through a bag, you know, so quickly." Hmm. You know why people go through their bag so quickly?
No,
is because
I don't.
They overfeed their pet.
Oh, okay.
If they don't go by the bag, okay. I say don't
trust the bag.
Don't trust the feeding requirements of the bag, and the reason is because those are, especially for dogs, those are based on beagles on a treadmill. Okay, so those, you know, you don't go by that, because you know what? Number one, you won't have a beagle, chances are, you know, and you could, but you're not going to be running it on a treadmill. So you're not going to be over-exercising it all the time where it's burning all these calories. Okay, I see enough. But don't go by the bag. Make sure, you know, you talk to your vet about the proper feeding protocol. So,
what is overweight? How do you, as a layperson, how do you determine if a pet is overweight?
There is a chart. There are great charts online for with pictures, but this is what I say to the person when they have a mixed breed dog. That is, say you have a Chihuahua mixed with a pit bull, which by the way does happen, and it's scary, but it does happen. Say you have a big dog mixed with a little dog. Your goal always is to be able to see a shadow of the ribs and not have to push in to feel ribs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that is the best indication of whether or not your pet is overweight.
Very good. What other things? We're at the vet visit. What else are we going to be talking about?
Well, apparently I have the shortest amount of time right now for the most important thing I would ever discuss. But we'll be discussing this in the future too. Is spaying and neutering your dog and your cat. Okay, that is so important. It is important to me. It is important to your pet. It is important to this environment. Okay, so it's important to the world. You always hear at the end of The Price is Right, you know, remember to spay and neuter your pet, control the pet overpopulation. Yeah, that is true. But you know what? There's a lot of other benefits than just overpopulation. It is best for their overall health, and we talk about what age to spay and neuter. It is going to vary in when it comes to dogs, because of certain breeds should probably wait just a little bit longer than standard. I would say have pretty much every dog done by 6 months of age, around 6 months of age, for spaying and neutering. However, I will tell people that have the larger breed dogs to wait a bit longer. Okay, so and for cats can be spayed as early as here's the thing. I'm a little different here, because I do spay and neuter early because I deal with a lot of rescues. So it's 8 weeks and a healthy 2 pounds. Some people are like, oh my goodness, that is not what I would do. You don't have to do it, okay? I do it. Okay. And I do it because there's a reason. When I have to work with humane societies and rescues, we have to get them done early, because if we don't, we let them go, we get adopted out, and people forget. And then accidents, so-called accidents, happen. Which, by the way, I do not believe in accidental pregnancies, okay, when it comes to spays and neuters. So I discuss that in full detail on how important it is, and the overall health benefits of having your pet spayed or neutered. For females, for example, it prevents heat cycles, it prevents pregnancies, it can prevent mammary cancer, it can prevent uterine infections. Really super important. And for males, it can prevent testicular cancers, it can prevent behavioral problems. So there are many, many aspects of the importance of spaying and neutering, and I really can't stress that enough. I do not agree with breeding. I cannot say anything positive about breeding. I really can't. So I know this will come across to some people as, you know, very strong, but imagine what I do on a regular basis. If I'm doing 20 a day, sometimes 50 plus, what does that tell you? We have a problem. And I do this 6 days a week, Tom. Six days a week, Sunday through Friday. And it feel like it's never ending.
And you're just a drop in the...
It is. And this is one area, you know, and I work at other areas in the state of Michigan. Imagine 50 plus states, imagine the whole world. We have a problem, and I'm just trying to do my best to solve it and take care of God's creation.
Amen. And that's the name of the program, is Creation Animal Care. And Dr. Edie, thank you so much for bringing so many important topics to us. Many of our listeners are aware of some of these topics, but much more comprehensive, and there is a reason for the practices that you do.
I do. And I have one more thing.
Sure.
If I could just quote James 4:17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. So Amen. We have to do good by these animals. We really do.
You've been listening to Creation Animal Care. We're on location at the Humane Society of St. Clair County and the SNAP Clinic, and with Dr. Edie Hanna, and I am your host, Tom Majeure. Until next time, God bless. This is a Strong Tower Radio production, and these programs are archived on our website for future reference. Bye now.